knows what to wear. You think that you're better, well, you better get ready. Bow to the man. To embark on a journey into the darkest parts of humanity, life, death, and the other side. Have no fear, you are not alone. Others are coming with you. Others who, just like you, are about to go beyond the threshold. Are you ready? Well, let's go. B.T.T. Good evening and welcome to the 50th episode of Beyond a Threshold. I am your host, Gary Blackheart, and can you believe it? We actually managed to survive for 50 episodes. Well, let's be fair, we had to kind of take some time off for several months prior to the releasing of this Kraken, and for several mighty good reasons, which I won't go into, but 50 episodes. Wow. No network, small following, no sponsors, and here we are, still going strong. Well, dead believers, trust me, I could not have possibly gotten this far without the incredible support that I have received from each and every one of you out there, and each and every one of the people in this house, naming my family, and not just on Facebook, but those of you listening to Podomatic as well. So, what are we going to be doing for the 50th Celerate? Why, go PTT, of course. Tonight's episode is dedicated to each and every one of you out there as a way of not just saying thank you, but getting you all wound up and excited for the next 50 episodes, and perhaps maybe bringing along a friend or 5,000, hopefully. Now, way, way back in May, we performed a guided meditation live on PTT, and the response from all of you was pretty good. It was a short episode, probably the shortest episode we've ever done, and while it was a nice, calming show, I thought that this one would go in the way, way opposite direction. You know, taking a break from the topics from one show and getting to the music, the humor, and the fun. I mean, come on, even the most hardcore of us need to have some fun, right? Well, I certainly have done that in droves this evening. Tonight you'll be hearing some music recommended by our listeners, some humor, and maybe a little news and not so news. We might even get a top 10 list in or two. So let's strap in and kick this thing into high gear. Now, On Facebook, as well as on Podomatic.com, we asked you, the listeners, to chime in and represent yourselves, giving us some information about yourselves and some things that you would like to hear or have promoted on the episode. Now, the very first person to jump in on this, a resident from Vineland, New Jersey, was a listener by the name of Mandy Stancil. Now, Mandy has been a loyal listener for just under a year now and is a proud pagan who works at Reagan's Petroleum in Vineland, New Jersey. Mandy also has this intense passion for music, particularly a band that she recently got the chance to be in a music video with, I believe, and that band is straight out of Delaware and is called Thunderbrew. And for you, Mandy, I give you this song from Thunderbrew, perhaps one of the first times this band has ever been on air any podcast. So here is Thunderbrew with their hit Ace to Ashes, I believe that's the name of it. Okay, Ace to Ashes from Thunderbrew. Here we go.
Thank you.
And welcome back to Beyond the Threshold, episode 50. Now, what you just heard was a band by the name of Thunderbrew, a very awesome band that was requested by a very awesome listener. And Mandy, I hope you rocked as hard as you could with that. But keep listening because we have much more where that came from, all right? Trust me. Now, our next listener hails a little north of Mandy in Gloucester County. Anne-Marie and her husband chimed in a few moments after Mandy did, and they had a few special requests. Now, the first was a song by this band called Imagine Dragons, and I've heard of this once or this band a couple of times, but it's not so much why they wanted to hear the song, because aside from the fact that the song is cool, I think maybe it's more along the lines of what they were requesting afterwards. The second part of that title, Dragons, well, which I will jump into, and I'm going to jump into the song in just a few. But first, I wanted to get into the couple second requests, which was they wanted to wax poetic a little bit about draconic magic. Well, Anne and your husband, I had planned on doing a draconic magic episode later down the road, but I can offer a little teaser to everyone out there, just for you, okay? For starters, draconic magic is defined as using the aid of a dragon while working magic. That being said, in order for draconic magic to work, you must first believe in the existence of dragons in the first place. The tough part in getting into this particular belief is getting to the point where you have tossed away all acceptance of scientific proof that dragons do not exist, which can, for the most part, be pretty easy if you also believe in the existence of the fae, the gods and goddesses, sprites, ghosts, and all sorts of magical creatures. For someone to claim that fairies exist and dragons do not would be as if I were to say the sun exists, yet the stars themselves do not. Digressing. Once belief in the existence of dragons has been accomplished, then a few things can be understood a little bit better. Now, in draconic magic, dragons are often called upon as guardian spirits. They make for exceptional allies who can be called in times of need for protection or guidance. Dragon magic, like all magic, is made up of, in its base form, from five main elements that exist throughout the known universe: fire, wind, earth, air, and spirits. But when using draconic magic, you are in fact calling forth an element in its dragon form, per se. Not just the elements but themselves, but the dragon version of that element. And each element in its dragon has certain magical qualities, moods, and purposes. Each also has positive and negative traits, which it must be dealt with. Male and female dragons may appear to represent any element. However, fire and air are positive energies, while water and earth are negative energies. It is a form of magic reaching the essence, the wisdom of the dragons. It is a branch of magic, a specialization. Dragon magic, it is said, is one of the oldest magical workings in the world. And in no way is dragon magic easy or simple. It requires great inner strength and immense patience to walk the path of the dragon. They are a part of the energy found all around us. Now, you may never see them, but you may eventually feel their presence. And this will take time and much practice. A dragon befriends only those who are deemed to be worthy and will only show themselves if they are sure that they can trust you or that you taste good with ketchup. One of the two. Dragons are long-lived with age, and with age comes with wisdom and patience. Dragons are creatures of wisdom and knowledge and provide great protection and can lead great power when needed, or set your village on fire. And now, if you take the time to forge a friendship with dragons, they can become the best companions you would ever want, or the worst enemy you could ever have. Now, understanding something here. As with all magic, the power lies within the intention and the faith of the magic wielder. In other words, fairy magic, dragon magic, magic of the elements, all forms of magic, even necromancy, in general, they work primarily off the amount of energy one puts into the working, the faith that the working will achieve the desired effect, and the amount of intent one has upon performing the magic. All magic, no matter what the source, requires time, effort, energy, and intent, but most of all, faith. If you ease back on any of these things when working with any magic at all, especially with something as strong as fairy or dragon magic, it will go badly, meaning it might backfire upon you and nothing will happen, period. All that work for nothing seems like a waste, right? Okay, now as I said earlier, I will jump into this topic in a fuller detail on a later episode, but for now, here from my friends Anne-Marie and your husband is Imagine Dragons with Radioactive here on BTT. Give it a listen.
from inside.
That was Imagine Dragons with Radioactive, followed by the Doctor Who theme as performed by Orbital. Now, I mentioned there would be some humor, some news, and some not-so-news, right? Now, I promise you, what you are about to hear is news and not-so-news. It might be something you've never heard of, and something you may have already known, but are not quite clear upon. This segment comes to us as a dedication to this amazing guy named Mark Lyons, owner of this company called Drawing the Circle Productions, which you can find on Facebook simply by searching for the page. Now, I met Mark a few months ago, thanks to my wonderful darling wife, April, and after taking this class with him that teaches people about this thing known as the vortex and how it relates to this thing called the law of attraction. Now, while I... Thank you, Samuel. Now, while I don't exactly have a recording of Mark's class, I did, however, pull this little clip up from the magical world of YouTube. So here is a little description called What is the Vortex? So listen up.
Well, hello there, my wonderful fellow positive thinkers. I've just been making a video about the vortex and vortexy vibes. I know I'm talking about it a lot at the moment, but it got me to thinking, okay, the vortex, which Abraham Hicks has shared so wonderfully well with everybody through Jerry and Esther Hicks. Now, the vortex is just a way of being. It's just basically living a life in that vibrational set point where you see the beauty in everything. You're energized all the time. You're excited. You just can't contain how great you feel and how much you love life. So you're really just living out the positive vibes. Now, it got me to thinking, what I do, I suppose, on a certain level, is to activate people's vortex, to put them in the vortex, and there's many other people out there doing this. Now, what I wanted to say to you today, my friends, is that you can also be a vortex activator. You can lead by example, because what happens is when you're in the vortex, you will naturally draw those people around you into the vortex as well. As I said, there's lots of people doing it out online now, in particular now, because we can share, we can connect with each other. And when you get into that, wow, spinny, wonderful, buzzy place of the vortex, like I am now, somebody watching you or experiencing your energy will naturally be caught up in it. So think about that. Get into that way of living as much as you possibly can. Forget about what people around you are doing. Don't worry about what they're thinking. You can positively affect all those around you by naturally being in that vortex and leading by example. Just watch how much life improves when you come from that perspective. So I hope that this has inspired you, and I will be back again very soon, my fellow vortexy, vibey people.
Okay, did you get that? No? Yeah? Hopefully? Well, what she's referring to is simply a method, a process of taking your energy and focusing towards a more positive direction on a regular basis. Basically, thinking positively, living positively, trying to keep yourself at a certain level of vibration, a certain level of spiritual vibration, of mental vibration, emotional vibration, to keep yourself to a point where you can, like, you're way up there, and sending that energy out into the universe, and then in turn feeling better about yourself by soaking in the positive energy that it's all about. You that came from you in the first place. Now, it's very cyclical. It makes perfect sense, but then again...
I thought I'd talk a little bit today about positive energy and positive people and the whole idea of putting a positive spin on everything. You know, there are times when I think it's really helpful to do that, but generally speaking, I don't like positive people. People who are relentlessly, consistently positive, I don't trust them. And here's why. The Tao Te Ching and the Taoist tradition and everything that I know and experience in my own body and in my own life and from looking around me is that we and everything around us is light and dark. There's a happy, positive side to life, and there is a miserable, painful, suffering side to life. We're all going to die. Any part of you that loves life and wants to live forever is miserable accepting that fact. It is not an easy fact to accept. And if you blithely sort of facilely say, oh, I've accepted death, I know I'm going to die. I don't believe you. Death is extinction of yourself. No, it's not an easy thing to accept. So I think we have a suffering side of ourselves, and we have a positive, happy, supportive side of ourselves. We're both selfish, greedy, narcissistic, self-involved creatures, but we're also cooperative and generous and supportive. But we're both. To try to rid ourselves of the darkness, to try to push the darkness away and put a smile on everything, to be positive all the time, no matter what, I don't think that's a good way to live, because that darkness builds up and builds up and builds up. And one day it'll crash through those walls and it'll take over your life. And you will become either bitter or violent or angry or nasty, or you'll become depressed and very, very, what's the use, very, very collapsed. At least to me, the secret of balance is to not exclude anything, to include both the dark, gnarly, judgmental, separate, negative, even hostile and angry side of myself, but also to include the light, positive, supportive, friendly, positive side of myself, and to allow both sides to express themselves and both sides to be there.
See, here we have another point of view, where it's not that you constantly focus on the positive, but also acknowledge the negative. Now, all right, here's how we settle this little ditty. On one side, you got the individual, you got the concept of the belief that you are supposed to, you are a being of light, you are a being of the energy, and everything you could possibly want is out there in the universe, and all you have to do is want it. All you have to do is take your energy and push it in a positive direction towards that very thing that which you want or need. And keeping that in your mind and wanting that good feeling to come to you, you have to inversely feel good. If you're going to be pissed off and angry at the world, then you ultimately are sending that energy out into the universe, and that is the pissed off and the pissed off and anger that's going to be coming right back at you. Congratulations. However, the other side of the view is, no, we don't exactly need all positive, we don't exactly need all negative, because the universe doesn't work that way. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. So it's one of those situations. On a lighter note, now we're both working hand in hand, there's people out there that refuse all negative energy without realizing that you need balance to be complete. So on a lighter note, with all this energy talk, because it's making my head spin, I got something for you.
Energy. I have no segues, by the way. I hope you guys are all right with that. 5-hour energy. You guys know about this stuff. For people who need 5 hours of constant energy. Now they have 6-hour energy. For those bastards who need 6 hours of constant energy, I saw on TV the other day, 7-hour energy. For those constant energy. I think the people have spoken. Cocaine, let's legalize it. The ad campaign would be so simple to market at first. At first, that is. I can see ad campaign right now. It's like, wife and kids giving you trouble, had a hard day at work, just can't seem to get everything done in one day. Introducing new 72-hour energy. Just take the vial of cocaine, cut into 3 or 4 lines, depending on your energy needs, and for not one, not two, but for 3 solid days, you'll have constant energy. And you'll get sexy, too, because you won't have time to eat with all that energy, chasing the bugs from crawling under your skin. Watch as your wife leaves you because you beat her. And now you have AIDS because you shared a needle. New 5-hour energy.
That was a series of clips that I had been pulling. I went YouTube happy for a little bit, and I had a couple of little things that I do to pull audio. So the first one was what is the vortex, and the following was someone explaining about, you know, the balance between positive and negative energy, and finally there was a comedian that spoke about the 5-hour energy kick, and we threw a little bit of perfect circle in there with the outsider, just for a particular friend of mine that happens to be the outsider in a certain situation. So, okay, welcome back to BTT's 50th episode celebration. Now, I want you to answer me this question, this one question, folks. I have looked all over the internet. Maybe not the entire internet, but pretty darn close. And I have yet to find a single pagan stand-up comedian. Yes, you! You know, a stand-up comedian does impersonations or does stand-up rock comedy songs. Not one, not a single one. But if I do see one out there, you, yes, you there. Are you pagan? And are you humorous? Or is it the humor that is pagan and you are simply channeling it from some netherworld dimension that are not privy to know? Have we kept our pagan comedians hidden from the rest of the world? Or have we kept the rest of the world from our sacred pagan comedians? It's quite a quandary, isn't it? Well, what have you say to this, Bane?
Make sure I have this right.
Alright, lunch orders.
Steve, turkey burger,
iceberg lettuce. Excellent choice, Steve. Very lean
protein. Not sure about the lettuce? I would have gone with a mixed green.
Let's see, next is Jared. Jared ordered the Caesar salad.
Yes, that's a classic choice. Dressing's a little high in fat. Wait, Gary, are you serious? Pizza?
Gotham City is
not even known for it. How does this conform with your New Year's resolution? Carbohydrates. Sugary tomato paste. Processed dairy. I expect more from my men. I thought we were on the same page with this. We're all going to better ourselves, starting with food.
Okay. That was, don't exactly know where I got that one from, but as you've probably already guessed, that is one of my favorite comic book characters currently, and his name is Bane! Now, and speaking of mythical beings such as Bane, this part is for all of you crazy kooky kids getting ready to hit the books this coming school year. Now, parents, when sending your pagan children to school, I want you to bear in mind that there is the distinct possibility that they might encounter someone that absolutely does not know what the fuck pagans are, and quite possibly might pass judgment upon your innocent child that has absolutely done nothing wrong except believe what they choose to believe in without just cause. So, kids, young and old, to make things a little easier, here is a top 10 list of myths about pagans that you need to remember. Number 1. Pagans worship the devil. No. No, 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 they do not, nor do they even acknowledge that a single entity that encompasses all good or all evil exists. Sorry. In order for us to be able to acknowledge that a all evil or all good person exists, we would have to take it to the point where we are a monotheistic religion rather than a polytheistic religion, and most people are. Although we have our own chosen separate gods and goddesses, we don't necessarily go with what you guys call God or the devil. To me, I know nothing of God or the devil. I know that there is a Christian version of it, and a Catholic version of it, and a Buddhist version, and this version, and that version, and so on and so forth. And yes, there very well may be a place of eternal damnation, but guess what? The places of good and evil all reside within each and every one of us. That is our positive and negative emotions, our positive and negative energies. And sorry, kitties, you do not have to state this to anyone, but there is no devil in the craft. There is no devil in paganism. So sorry about your luck, pal. All right, just keep that in mind. Number two, pagans can fly on a broomstick and have special magical powers. Trust me, if he flew on broomsticks, there would not be issues with traffic. I mean, come on, 295 is a freaking mess all day, all night. If I had a broomstick, I wouldn't be driving it. Period. I'd be flying over it, hovering above it with all of my witchy friends. Okay? And besides, again, here's this little thing you're going to catch on with this really quickly. Whenever you hear the phrase pagan, someone refers to you as a witch. So, guess what? Not all pagans are witches. And not all witches are pagans. And concurrently, not all pagans fly on broomsticks. Not all witches fly on broomsticks either. However, there was that one with Kathy and Jiminy where she flew on a vacuum cleaner. It's pretty fucking awesome. Anyhow, trust me, if we flew on broomsticks, there wouldn't be any issues with traffic. And the only magical powers we have are that of tolerance, love, and being at peace with a natural world. In other words, we don't have the ability to throw fire out of our eyes, or shoot lightning out of our fingertips, or, you know, blow smoke up your ass. However, you've been blowing smoke up our ass for thousands of years, but we're not going to go there. Kids, when someone asks you if you fly on a broomstick, tell them no. However, I do use a broomstick when I'm sweeping up the pathetic crap that you're spewing at me. Okay? Pagan women. This one's one of my favorite bitches about this. Pagan women are nymphomaniacs, and all pagans have wild orgies every single night. I can assure you, not every night. Maybe once in a while, but not every night. And not every pagan woman are nymphomaniacs. They're not. Sorry, you know. Hey, I can assure you, it is not at all true. As a father of one, with one on the way, as a stepfather, and married to the most beautiful, most exquisitely sexy goddess woman of all, and I happen to know for a fact that women are not all nymphomaniacs. Okay? They're not. Women and men alike, pagan women and pagan men alike, yes, we do like sex. We probably like sex just as much as everybody else does, except for those people who are just a little bit, you know, I'm not going to touch you. You know, one of those things. We all like sex just like everybody else does, and we enjoy our bodies just like everybody else does. So what the fuck is with it? We're all nymphomaniacs. Just because we happen to every so often go skyclad does not necessarily mean that every fucking pagan goes skyclad. Okay? And as far as we having wild orgies every night, what is your business? Aside from that, what happens in the comfort of my home or anybody else's home is none of your fucking business. It's mine alone. And if it happens to happen, then it does. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. I would be more concerned about the individuals that don't have any faith, that don't have any scruples, that don't really fucking care about what kind of STDs they might carry, or what non-gynecological splatmogina disease they might, you know, be infecting the 50 or 60 million people that they come in contact with on every single day. You know, not those of us who happen to like and enjoy our bodies and know what we are doing with them. Aside from all of that bullshit, look, pagans respect the shells that they're in. The gods and goddesses gave us these damn things, and therefore we must respect them as much as humanly possible. And as such, we don't really enjoy treating our shells with that type of disrespect, okay? We are not machines, we are temples. Our bodies are temples, not machines. So, with all due respect, with that one, kids, you have my permission. Tell them to go fuck themselves, okay? Now, the next one. Pagans lack a code of ethics and are immoral. Nothing could be further from the truth. We follow perhaps the toughest laws of all, the laws of nature, and the laws of nature are infallible. In other words, you cannot and do not fuck with the laws of nature. So therefore, we must follow those laws. And we follow the same laws of the land. We follow, you know, we get arrested just like you guys do. We raise hell just like you guys do. But the thing about it is, though, is that we don't, you know, we're not above or below the law, okay? We still follow the same things that you guys do. We still have, and we still have the same standards, okay? We have standards, and they are extremely high. So high, in fact, that they are godlike. Okay, we live as the gods intend us to. We live in the eyes of the gods and the goddesses. We try to be as the gods and goddesses wish us to be, or have intended us to be, or the universe has intended us to be. We do harm no one, which is one of our biggest laws, is harm no one. That doesn't mean harming yourself, and that doesn't mean harming, you know, anybody else. That's what it means. That's it. You don't harm anybody, you don't harm anybody else. How in the fuck is that below any other law that's out there? You know, you wage war, you cause mass genocide, you drop bombs on people, you're threatening to launch missiles against a company, the country that has absolutely nothing to fucking do with you except for oil, but yet you tell us that we are immoral? Yeah, okay. Next one. Pagans worship outdated gods and goddesses. Okay, if by mean outdated you mean old and ancient, then absolutely, yes, we do. They're probably as old as time itself and maybe even before time itself. But they're certainly not outdated. Unless there's like a Zeus 2.0 running around here. And for those of you thinking that we're worshiping outdated gods and goddesses, especially those of you who are worshiping a guy with a beard and a robe, and you don't even know what skin color he was, or because of, and you assume he's a certain skin color when he could be another one, you have no idea whether he even existed or not. You're telling me that you're going to believe in a guy who was reincarnated, who could walk on water, who could do all of these things, and was only around for the past, I don't know, 2,113 years? And yet, our gods and goddesses are a couple thousand, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 years old? Yeah. Good luck with that one. Good luck with that argument. Pagans were all raised by hippie nomads. This one I don't really understand, but again, it's false. History proves to us that most mainstream religions originated as pagan beliefs to begin with, and that they were modified to suit the needs of society. And most pagans will understand this and accept this, that actual paganism, particularly, especially the one that everybody seems to associate themselves with, is Wicca. Wicca started a little bit around the 1930s or so, and it moved its way up, so it's a little bit more modern. But those who believe in the older ways, like the Druish religions and Celts and so on and so forth, we gave the Holy Roman Catholic Church certain holidays and certain belief structures and so on and so forth, because if it weren't for us pagans, you guys wouldn't have Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny, jack-o'-lanterns, trick-or-treating, and a thousand one other things, including your freaking Christmas trees. So don't go there. As for the hippies, look, without hippies, we'd have no Jimi Hendrix. We'd have no concept of love, peace, and rock and roll. If without hippies, we wouldn't have the ability to, you know, try to fight for the right to smoke the chiva. That's where it all began. Right there in the 1960s. They expressed free love and freedom and loving your brother, man, and woman, and being able to express yourself openly without restriction. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? We've gone from there to hating everybody and everything and nitpicking about even everything. I mean, mind you, even nitpicking about Miley Cyrus's performance at the VMAs is kind of a bad idea. She did it on her own volition, and we watched. You don't like it, don't watch it. Plain and simple. All right, here's another one. It's kind of funny. Pagans practice animal sacrifice. No. We bless the meaty meals that we have. That much is true. Just like you guys say prayers at the dinner table. But the gods really kind of frown on us taking lives in their name. It's called non-violence for a reason. You know, that whole idea of harming no one. There are pagans who are vegetarians, or pagans who are vegans, just as much as there are Christians that are vegans and Christians that are vegetarians. But at no way, shape, or form do the foods that we consume are altered onto a, placed onto an altar and burned in effigy to our gods and goddesses. All right, we don't give thanks for the bountiful harvest in which we have sacrificed in your name. No, we give thanks for the gifts that you have given to us. Okay, so how about this? How about you stop thinking and watching the movies and looking at all these different, you know, stereotypes that have been falling upon society, and try and talk to an actual pagan and get to know them, and maybe, or even sit down and eat dinner with them, because I guarantee you they're probably eating the same goddamn thing you are, and it's probably a lot healthier than what you consume. So good one. This one here: pagans live in wooden huts outside of society. Well, let me dispel that one for you. I live in a city in Burlington County, New Jersey, inside a two-story house that is over close to 100 years old on a very busy street. There. Your argument is invalid. Case closed. Pagans are a... And this is the last one. Pagans are a very small minority of the population. Well, perhaps, but religiously intolerant bigotry takes the majority. Okay? And, of course, pagans do not have the same legal rights as members of other religions. Now, of course, I kind of sort of like going back to that first one when I did this was about pagans being amoral. No. According to the Constitutional Bill of Rights, we have the freedom of religion, the same freedom of religion that you have. And if that's true, so are the other legal rights that you possess. Aside from that, when the police read the Miranda Act, they don't ask you what religion you are. They tell you to have the right to remain silent. So how about you go do that now? On that note, we're going to play a few more songs, and then we're going to wrap this puppy up, okay? The first, we're going to play a typo negative song, and then we're going to play some Angel Spit, and then we're going to play some Sonic Youth. Hopefully, it's going to go off that well. We'll get back to you in just a few moments. Stay tuned. Come on. this concludes our 50th episode of BTT. I hope you've enjoyed our very random, very entertaining show for this evening. Now, in the coming weeks, Beyond the Threshold will be starting the onslaught of bringing to you some pretty awesome topics. We have a list compiled, and it's ever-growing, but that is in no way at all saying that you, the listeners, can't chime in with a request. So, and we may very well actually have a couple of interviews in the near future, too, which is something that's new to BTT's, actually doing a fucking interview. So, in that case, if you have any guests that you would like to have, you know, I might want to try to get a couple of people that I know that, you know, that you might be interested in knowing about and talking to. So if you do have a topic and you'd like to have presented on our shows, feel free to drop me a line on our Facebook fan page. Until we meet again, namaste, farewell, and good night.